Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mully and Henley, up early to start your day with Chicago sports talk.
I want to talk about these Cubs and what they're doing.
Time to catch you up on this morning's show so far.
At Memorial Day weekend, do you still consider the Cubs a World Series contender?
Oh, absolutely. I know that some texters said that Theo sounded like a broken man yesterday. I don't think he sounded that. He sounded unhappy, certainly not satisfied with the way things are going, because we've seen this movie before and we all hope at least the ending gets us to the NLCS as a Cub fan, but he expected better. But here we stand and here we sit, and they're still four games over 500. So yeah, absolutely, they haven't played anywhere close to their best baseball, consistent baseball, and yet they're an 87% probability to be a playoff team, and that sounds about right.
Mully and Henley.
What the hell's going on in this show?
I said the other day, what the hell is going on?
Taking you to work every morning from 5 to 9.
That ball's hit well right center field, angles back on it at the wall. Adam takes a big hit at the wall, and the ball gets up and out for Adam Jones.
Interesting day over at Guaranteed Rate Field,
though. Oh, no doubt about it.
For different reasons.
Yeah, the bigger concern, I think, in the media is Lucas Giolito, because he sure looks a lot like Carson Fulmer without the goggles.
This is a young pitcher trying to figure out what it's like to pitch at the major league level. I get sort of the disappointment from yesterday. He was bad.
Yes.
He looked like a AAA pitcher yesterday, and maybe that's where he belongs, but this is what you're going to experience with young pitchers as you rebuild. You've got to be patient, and this is an example of the kind of things you're going to struggle through.
He'll go back to drawing board with Coopy and try to get back on track.
What's up, Chicago?
806, you got Molly and Haley, David Hawson in for Mike. We're glad you're with us on this Friday morning, and I don't know that Don Cooper's going to like the new moniker Coopy. I'm going to guess that all things being equal, the Sox pitching coach will go with how we've known him for all these years.
Whoa. He had one bad inning against Detroit, Chief.
Yeah, well, it wasn't Detroit, and he had a couple bad innings against the Orioles. And the question was, does Giolito need to be heading to the minor leagues? Like Carson Fulmer and Rick Renteria said, not at this particular time, and he'll get together with Don Cooper, Coopy, and figure it out, and here's hoping, because you need Giolito to be part of your future.
Coopy.
Yeah, that's right, Coopy. Not Poogie, Coopy. To the phones we go, 312-644-6767 is the number. A lot of texters weighing in on the Joe Madden subject as well. But our callers want their say. Milwaukee Larry's out there. Hello, Larry.
Hey, Larry.
Hello, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing all right, except for having to live here in Milwaukee, but... I was doing some research, and I was looking at Baez this year. He strikes out 24% of the time. Mm-hmm. Russell, 21. Mm-hmm. Schwarber, 29. And can you even guess what Ian Happ's strikeout percentage is?
It's over 40.
Yeah, it was 50 at one point.
47%.
Yeah.
When you line all these guys up, you know, how many at bats during a game, are we just striking out, not moving runners, not putting the ball in play? Why does Joe Madden not just put Almora in at 313 with a 19% strikeout rate and just leave him? And do you think maybe a nice trade of one of these guys like Schwarber or Baez that might have been considered untouchable?
A trade? Like, you want to trade Javi or Schwarber?
What I'm trying to say is these guys are all untouchable, and the Cubs are talking about focus and complacency. What about looking next to your locker and seeing one of these guys gone?
Nah.
You never know.
Thanks, Larry.
That's the devil talking.
I'm not trading Javi, and I'm not trading Schwarber.
Well, who are you trading? You're out there with the Manny Machado.
Yeah, we talked about Machado. I mean,
who are you trading for Machado?
Oh, I think the obvious guy at the center of that discussion has been Addison Russell.
That's not going
to
be enough.
Ian Happ is a guy that I would be more likely to move than either Javi or Schwarber.
I'm not moving Javi, but I mean,
you're asking who on the Cubs has trade value.
What,
you know, Addison Russell does. Ian Happ does. I'm not getting rid of Almora.
No, or Contreras. You know, his name came up the other day.
Absolutely not.
But Baltimore is going to ask for a lot.
Mike Montgomery.
See, now that's interesting.
Okay,
right?
Mike Montgomery's the guy that I would deal.
Right.
I would then at that point on the major league roster, it pretty much ends there, Brian.
Right. Because you don't have pitching prospects in the minor leagues that you can offer, but you can offer him. But you'd like to keep him around because you don't have prospects.
You have some others at the lower level.
Mike Montgomery would be a guy you probably.
What are you really going to get for a Mike Montgomery though? He's going to be 29.
He's going to be added.
He's got a five and a half ERA.
No, but I mean, in terms of what you can offer Baltimore in pitching, because you don't have pitching prospects.
But I don't know who's going to be interested in Mike Montgomery.
Well, they need it would be part of a package. I mean, not he's not the centerpiece certainly. And that keeps, if he wants to be a starter, he can go start in front of nobody in Baltimore and be happy about it. I mean, that's where you're at with him, right? He's not going to be a starter here. As much as he wants to, this is who he is.
He's
an emergency spot starter.
Now, can you foresee a scenario where Chatwood continues to struggle mightily finding the plate in the second half of the season? Does Mike Montgomery bump him from the rotation? That'd be really far-fetched to me.
I mean, seriously, if we're at that point 2 months removed, now I'm not saying it's not a possibility, then you've just horribly swung and missed on this one. I mean, and we had a texture way of how's Alex Cobb doing, basically. I'm glad
not
that
good.
He was
not good.
No, not good.
Just as bad. Worse,
Greg Holland not doing well for the Cardinals. I mean, it's not the Cubs aren't alone and signing guys and hoping for the best and getting a lot less than
that. Derek Holland on the mound today for the Giants. Former White Sox. You brought up Holland.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, the point is, I know that Theo said the conversations in terms of trade are nil right now because it's May.
Yeah.
But people are still reporting, John Heyman being one of them, that the Cubs targeted or will target Manny Machado.
Well, this is also, this isn't a typical situation, Brian. This is a guy who's a top five player who is in a walk year.
Right.
And so the speculation around somebody like that, given the circumstances, is going to be heightened earlier.
Given the resources you have to keep him around, he's going to go to free agents. We understand that. But you have the money, and certainly you would think once he got here to understand.
Let them roll their eyes all they want.
Yeah.
That's fine. This is Manny Machado. This isn't just a typical baseball trade we're trying to concoct. This is a top five player that is a superstar.
Who's 25, right?
I mean, 25.
Think about that. Mel's in Oakland. Good morning, Mel.
Hey, Mel.
Hey, how you guys doing? I just want to make one comment, and I want to hang up and listen to your response. The game in Colorado last week, I looked at the lineup, and I thought, well, here comes a loss. I looked, and I just couldn't believe you never, ever, ever have Almora, Baez, and Contreras out of the game at the same day, your best defensive guys. It was terrible, and I want to see what you guys think about it because, Happ was out there, goes off the heel of his glove. You just can't have Baez and Contreras at least out of the game on the same day. They have to get their rest, but they save too many runs. They're just too valuable. And I just, I don't call in a whole lot, but I wanted to see what you guys thought on this, and I'll listen to your response. And thank you for the call.
Thanks, Mel. Thanks for making the
call. Well, I think when you have Happ in center field and Schwarber in left, you're asking for trouble. That's a recipe for defensive disaster. And that may be overstating it, but I think that you look at the struggles that Ian Happ has out there, and you have to hit at a high level to justify putting him in center. And I didn't feel that strongly at the beginning of the season, but I think that you've seen the more you see of Albert Almora, the more you fall in love with the idea of having him out there regularly because of what he saves you and how good he makes your pitching. He's a pitcher's best friend, and I think that you can justify the idea of putting him out there every day.
You were 9-2 with he atop the order and Baez batting behind him. Now, it's not necessarily all cause and effect, but the wins and losses, that's what they were. 9-2 when you'd kind of been just struggling to figure out what you got here, win 2, lose 3, and I don't know if it speaks to kind of an arrogance when Joe does keep three guys like that out of the lineup. It's just, they need the break. It's 1 of 162. Is there kind of like, who cares if we well, we should still win this game even if those guys are in the lineup, because normally you would say you wouldn't do that as a manager, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's this kind of like, and yesterday Theo said, we have not earned the right to polish our October resume or roster right now. And basically, we don't know we're going to be there. So we can't go ahead and make the Manny Machado deal. We can't go ahead and act as if October is a given, because this team hasn't revealed
itself. I respected what he said there, and I thought that was good humility and recognition of what they aren't. At the same time, again, there's no bad time to add a guy like Manny Machado or to discuss the possibility of adding somebody like that. But I think you're right. You know, the Almora in center is something that sounds great. It's a big fan cause. And Joe, when he pushes back on that, always comes back to, well, you have five outfielders for three spots.
Everyone's got to play.
Everybody's got to play. And that is a difficult dilemma, but it's a great problem to have. I just don't think that everyone's always pleased with how the solutions that he offers.
And the more important question, are the players, would they want some certainty for at least a while? Would they like to know when they get to the ballpark?
I'd really like to know what Ben Zobrist thinks.
Yeah.
Honestly.
The mind of Zoe will tell you. It's unfiltered.
I would like to get inside the mind of Zoe and not to
hear. You don't even have to ask it. The mind of Zoe will just tell you what it
is. Because he's one of those five guys that gets a little bit, used in odd ways sometimes.
Go get him, Zoe.
He's David Haas sitting in for Mully. You got Mully and Hanley on the score.
It's
the most unfiltered mind in history.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Play ball!
Bruce Levine, 670, the score baseball analyst.
It is all baseball.
32 years, baseball veteran reporter.
Bruce, I've known you for a number of years now.
Breaking stories faster than a cheetah can run. And as far as I know, cheetahs are speedy.
I went ahead and broke the story on Twitter, and then, of course, had to write a story on the website at 670thescore.com.
Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine.
By the way, I loved you in The Wizard of Oz.
Bruce Levine.
And Bruce Levine joins us on the CDW hotline. CDW, making IT solutions work for you. Orchestration by CDW. CDW, people who get it. Good morning, Bruce.
Hey, Bruce.
Good morning. And I guess you could say that Lucas Giolito and his teammates yesterday were caught in suspended animation after that tough knowledge of knowing that Wellington Castillo missed the next 80 games, and the fact that it was kind of animated the way he went out there and wasn't able to get things done. Giolito, another rough outing for him. He's had his ups and downs this year, and I got to ask him, guys, about how disappointing it is to lose him, and were the White Sox let down by Castillo?
To go down for 80 games, it definitely hurts the team. It's unfortunate, but my hope is that he can come back and help the club. He has a lot of experience working with him in spring training. It was awesome. Good pitch caller, throws out a lot of guys, so he kind of makes you feel comfortable while you're out there, and good mound visits. So it sucks to not have him.
The first Chicago player on a 25-man roster to be suspended for PEDs is Wellington Castillo. It's surprising considering what a quality guy he is and how he's been looked at on both sides of town, but nonetheless, that is the reality.
Interesting, because Ozzie, talking about this yesterday with us, said, usually, you better be better than Wellington Castillo. You better be hitting 50 home runs to go down this road, but we were talking about it, and he's going to make money on the deal. 80 games without pay is one thing, but 2 years and a $15 million contract, he's still going to come out of this well ahead. And, at least he took responsibility and tried to give you, well, I've been taking the stuff, or the doctor gave me the stuff. And he said, I made a bad mistake. I made a mistake, and he apologized, but that doesn't help the team.
Well, the worst part is you see the Cano suspension for a superstar, and then you see Castillo, and it starts to bring doubt back that Major League Baseball and the Players Association are on top of the continued drug situation that has great chemists that stay ahead of the testing, that has that have new masking agents all the time, and you just don't know how long these players have actually done things without being caught because of all these technological advances for the cheaters. And that is the difficult part. It's great when MLB finds them out, but it is disheartening to know that people are still cheating, and maybe a lot of them.
Bruce, the disappointment was obvious. You heard it in everything that Rick Hahn said and players said, but was there anger? Did you detect from players? Because this would be something that if you're counting on a teammate that lets you down to this degree, you could understand people being a little mad.
Well, I think, some players, Giolito was one of them that was very disappointed that we talked to.
And disappointing.
Very disappointing as well. But in reality, I think Rick Hahn and Jerry Reinsdorf, Kenny Williams, and especially Ricky Renteria, who recommended Castillo when they were talking about adding catchers and signed him to the two-year $15 million contract last November, as somebody that was reliable, could help with the rebuild, great guy, improved his catching skills, better at framing than he was 4 years ago when he was with the Cubs, a stronger hitter. And as Renteria said, it's like you with your own kids. You always love them, but sometimes you just don't like them.
Let's talk about Giolito, though, Bruce. I mean, he's much more important to the future of the White Sox than Castillo. Was it a legitimate question about sending him to the minors? Are you at that point with Giolito? Or as David was talking about earlier in the show, this is all about growing pains. There's no rush to send him down. And you just keep trotting him out there. And, you know, obviously the walks are more than a little bit of an issue, but this is what the season's all about. You let these guys kind of find out who they are and get better at being a starting pitcher.
Well, they didn't do it with Fulmer. So he was asked, you know, Renteria was asked after the game, why Fulmer down and not Giolito? And they think that Giolito's more advanced than Fulmer, has better repertoire and command of his stuff. When he gets a little east-west on the hill, and that's what, you know, people in the game call side-to-side, instead of coming straight over the top with his delivery, you see the results of walks, wild pitches, pitches that are fat in the middle of the plate. That's what you saw yesterday with Giolito. So they're not at that point yet, but, you know, it's a fair question to say why Fulmer goes down, not him. But it's also a matter of innings or some innings up at the major league level. They don't have a lot of people to fill those roles, and they're not going out to get starting pitchers and paying money for other people when they're in this mode of rebuild.
You know, Bruce, you have something on 670thescore.com website about Eloy Jimenez. You talked to a scout. You projected, because of the Super 2 status, which is very difficult to identify a date on a calendar until after the season, but you project late July before we may see him on the south side. Are the Sox tempted to do anything any sooner? And the scout that you spoke with, is he as convinced as everybody else seems to be that this guy is special?
He is, because he's a guy that has the White Sox organization for a National League team, and he goes to scout the minor league teams as well, and he's seen Jimenez a lot. And the fact that Jimenez can hit the ball out of the park anywhere, and that he has great command of his skills as far as hitting in the gaps, that gives this guy an idea that this is going to be a special player. On top of that, the personality, the makeup, the bilingual, having fun with people all over the place, they think this is a special player. And I think a lot of the White Sox players got to see that over the last couple springs, or last spring anyways, since he was traded a year ago in July to the Cubs. And the Cub people attest to it as well. I mean, this is a guy that's going to be special. Not a great outfielder, not a great arm, probably a left fielder, but certainly someone they feel is an impact player that should be up in July. You know, trading deadline, Avi Garcia gets back here hopefully in another couple weeks. He is somebody that maybe gets traded and Eloy comes up. That might be the natural progression of what goes on with Jimenez.
Hey, Bruce, who's the big fan of Jason Hayward in terms of keep giving him opportunity after opportunity? Is that the front office, or is it Joe? When you see
it's
him,
the comptroller, Brian.
Well done. But when you see him take that at bat in the seventh inning, is there an advocate that there's still a better ball player there in Jason Hayward, and we just have to give him time to find it? Or is it I think
watch the bat head for him, okay, and see the harder contact that he's making this year, and the way Davis has him toward the back end and to the very right of the batter's box, so that he can, so he doesn't get jammed like he has been. This is a guy that doesn't strike out. All he does is make more weak contact than anybody in the game. Therefore, Chili Davis has backed him out to the point where he's not getting jammed quite as often, and you're seeing more line drives, and that is the goal, to get more slugging percentage, more OPS out of Jason Hayward.
You know, Bruce, when you look at this weekend, big weekend for Yu Darvish, Sunday night, prime time, what are your expectations, and how much are the Cubs looking at this to see, you know, how he handles this big moment?
Yeah, I mean, again, I thought last week he was ready to step out, and I think, again, he's going to continue to pitch well for him. The idea that he gets lost, David, in the fourth or fifth inning and can't find his way out, well, you know, hopefully the metrics and the catcher can help him get through that. That is the goal here. This is a accomplished pitcher, a guy that's been around for 7 or 8 years, so from that perspective, this guy should be able to go out there and give him consistent 6 or 7 innings, much like he did in Cincinnati. So, you know, it's going to be a better lineup that he faces than he did in Cincinnati. But nonetheless, I think he's going to continue to do better. And now that he is pitching in warm weather again, I think that's a key as well, because his whole career was in Texas, and we know that optimum weather brings out the best in pitching.
Bruce, what kind of news are you breaking on Inside the Clubhouse tomorrow, 8 a.m. right here on The Score?
Well, you know what? It's our last day of being at 8 o'clock. We're going to start going 9 to 11 starting next week. Dr. Stephen Cole and his great sports medicine show is going to precede us every Saturday. And tomorrow we have Jim Callis talking about the draft, Nick Hostetler, the scouting director of the White Sox, and Chili Davis of the Cubs, hopefully joining us on Inside the Clubhouse. Guys, have a great weekend, great holiday weekend.
Talk you too,
to you next
Bruce.
Week.
Thanks, Bruce.
Thank you. That's right. Dr. Brian Cole will be part of the Score family starting on Saturdays here. And
that's good. My back's a little tight.
I don't. Yeah, there's no. Like,
oh, you're Matt Davidson?
Yeah. Got family and friends discount here? No. Your copay is going to be exactly what everyone
darn.
Else is. But Chili Davis, that'll be interesting. If when Chili shows up, you know, ask him some Jason Hayward questions and see if he's got any of the answers.
So. I don't know. I don't know why he would be any different.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Steph, what do you think of Chris Paul's little shimmy?
It was well deserved. It's a tough shot. If you can shimmy on somebody else, you got to be all right getting shimmied on. So I'll keep shimmying, and maybe he will too.
At Steph Curry, you wouldn't have guessed that the Golden State Warriors lost last night in Houston, because it was kind of a what-me-worry type postgame, and Steph's like, yeah, Chris Paul threw up some unbelievable three-point shots. That wouldn't be James Harden. He missed all 11 of his threes. But, I mean, the ball actually like falling out of Chris Paul's hand. He didn't even have control of it. And he pushes it towards the basket on Steph Curry, one of them right over. And he gave Steph the old Steph shimmy. But to a man, Steve Kerr and Steph Curry and Draymond.
They sounded confident.
Green, not even bothered. You know, hey, this is fun. Steve Kerr said, we're in a great position. Well, you know why they may be in a great position? One, they're going home. Two, Chris Paul, in the final seconds of that game, drives the lane, does a spin move, and there goes the right hamstring. And when you hear hamstring, you don't think back in 36 hours. But that's when he was terrific in the third quarter and helped them hold the Houston Rockets under 100 points, and also helped them take a one-game lead in the series. And it'll be interesting to see how this plays out, because James Harden did not play well at all, and you found a way to win that game.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be a great matchup. But you see why people like Steph Curry so well, so much, though, because a lot of guys in that situation where Chris Paul comes down and he's doing the shimmy.
I'll keep shimmying, and maybe he will too.
Words to live by. You know, just if you're gonna shimmy on somebody else, you got to be all right getting shimmied on. And that just sounds
different.
That's something that would be worthy of a Joe Madden rant. Like, you know,
I'll keep shimmying, and maybe he will too.
My bad.
There you go. I mean, everyone has their moments.
My bad.
It's interesting in the NBA that
Steph Curry just took it with stride.
Right,
it's in stride. He didn't get immature. He didn't explode. He didn't.
That's the playoff experience right there, guys.
Right,
that have
been there,
won several times. They're not sweating at all.
He shot almost 50%, Curry did, but he only ended up with 22 points. And you need more from Steph Curry as much as there was a moment there, and I think we have this audio where Steve Kerr is talking to Kevin Durant, and he actually relays a story about the Bulls championship years and huddles that he was in, and that here's Kevin Durant getting his points. He had zero assists last night. More importantly, he gets his points early. He is, what, 1-for-9 in the fourth quarter of the last two games? So if you're the guy... If you're the guy and you think you're the guy and you want the ball and you're not really sharing the
To step up.
And, I mean, the Warriors are all about sharing the ball. I mean, the numbers, when they the basket's off assists and off a pass, and last night they were not themselves. They were not passing the ball and they weren't converting baskets from assists. But this was Steve Kerr talking to Kevin Durant, the man of the moment, the guy. It was once Steph Curry's team. Is it fair to say now it's Kevin Durant's team? And if it is, the coach had some words for him.
When MJ was with the Bulls, we had a playoff game, and he kept trying to score. And he was scoring, but we weren't getting anything going. Phil Jackson said, "Who's open?" I said, "John Paxson." I want you to trust your teammates early, early. What you're doing is you're getting to the rim, and then you're trying to hit them. I want you to trust the first guy, and then move. Still attack, still look to score, but trust these guys, okay?
Kevin Durant, 8 of 22, 29 points, 0 of 4 in the fourth quarter, no assists. And that was Steve Kerr saying, hey, you know, the great ones answered the question, yeah. John Paxson's open.
And Steve Kerr was open, too,
yeah.
A few times. Yeah, that's a great reference. That's a great moment. That's great on tape. I wonder, Steve Kerr knows everything that he says is going to be recorded and replayed.
And deciphered and criticized, as Dustin was
and
referencing in the 5-at-5.
I still think, Brian, yeah, I still think it's going to be Cavs and Warriors.
And we should, we did talk about Steve Kerr in the shoot-around, was asked a question about the NFL's policy on the anthem. And when you ask a question of Steve Kerr, you get an answer, and it's an answer that, I know Dan McNeil took exception to it yesterday, talked about how he used to do shows with Steve Kerr, and like Steve Kerr and usually everything he says and is all about, but gave him, as he said, I believe, the middle finger for taking a shot at the NFL audience and core. And basically, Steve Kerr said that the NFL, they're just playing to their fan base. It's fake patriotism and nationalism. It's idiotic.
What are your thoughts on the NFL's reaction to the anthem?
I think it's just typical of the NFL. They're just playing to their fan base, and they're just basically trying to use the anthem as fake patriotism, nationalism, scaring people. It's idiotic, but that's how the NFL has handled their business. It's kind of what's wrong with our country right now, is people in high places are trying to divide us, divide loyalties, make this about the flag, as if the flag is something other than what it really is. It's a representation of what we're about, which is diversity and peaceful protests and ability to right to free speech. So it's really ironic, actually, what the NFL is doing.
I thought that was the quote of the year. I thought Steve Kerr was as eloquent as anybody could be on the topic. I think it is idiotic for the NFL to dredge this up when it wasn't an issue that was simmering.
And you got a ton of reaction from your column.
I've got a ton of reaction.
When we brought it up yesterday, the phone lines blew up. Pro and con as usual. It's a hot button issue.
It is a hot button issue. And it's even hotter because the NFL chose to make it hotter.
Now, but correct me if I'm wrong. The NBA does have a rule that was collectively bargained where their players are required to stand during the anthem.
Yes, right?
So, I mean, it is interesting that you're going to criticize how one league is handling it. And yet, whether you're proactive or not and came up with a unified policy, you're not allowing freedom of speech or expression within the confines of the NBA.
There's nobody that looks at the NBA, though, regardless of that rule, and feels like their players are being squelched when they want to be socially active.
Right.
Or they want to make a symbolic gesture.
The commissioner encourages it and talks about how
the commissioner got in front of an audience the other night at a banquet, a media banquet, and urged the media not to stick to sports. Adam Silver, look, this is the world we live in now. what the NFL did was it cowered to sponsors and it catered to the president. And it was unnecessary and overreaching. And that's why they create. That's why people are reacting to this. It was a problem that they made. It was a bad problem they made worse. And they didn't.
Maybe you shouldn't be in the country.
And Dustin, your issue was that if you're going to have that stance and you're going to answer those questions in the shoot around, your team better.
You better win.
Your team
you
better
win. Yeah. Listen, I don't have a bone to pick with Steve Kerr. I don't like him. You know, talk about dividing. Here's the thing. He just talked about dividing. He's dividing NFL fans from NBA fans. He's saying they're not one and the same. So which way is it, Steve?
Just focus on
the game. Win. Get ahead. Then have your comments at the parade.
There's also news out of New Orleans I want to get to, but first I want to give you a chance to win $1,000 right here on the score. This hour's keyword is ground. Text ground to the number 72881. Text ground to 72881. Do it by the top of the hour. The keyword is ground. Text to 72881. One randomly selected nationwide entrant is going to win $1,000 this hour. Please don't text and drive, and message and data rates may apply. And news out of New Orleans, and Dustin, you and I were talking about this. Joe, we talked about with Mully. Someone was going to be very right on this issue, and someone's going to be very wrong, and there was going to be no middle ground. Ryan Pace told us that his medical people, the Bears medical people, basically gave them a thumbs down on Cam Meredith for the paltry sum of $1 million lunch money in the NFL that they tendered him at, the offer they tendered him at, not the other one, because they didn't think any team was going to come looking for Cam Meredith. Well, it turns out more than one team did, and he's now down in New Orleans, and basically Ryan Pace said that our people didn't think he was going to become available, David, and guess what?
Well, he practiced yesterday, and he was on the field, and he had a good workout. He's not in full team drills yet, but he said it feels great, man, especially to be catching it from a Hall of Fame quarterback like Drew Brees. And Sean Payton was quoted as saying that it's even better than doctors had hoped. He's going to factor in this year, and he's a player that we have a real clear vision for.
So there you go. Now, not full practice. It is OTAs.
May.
He caught the first pass from Drew Brees in the OTA.
Yeah, and I think he's probably gotten over the fact that the Bears gave up on him and probably celebrating the idea that he's going to be better in that offense if he can stay healthy. And the Saints doctors believe that he will stay healthy.
He's David Haw sitting in for Mully. You got Mully and Haley on the score.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!